Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Trusting in the Lord and financial planning, do they go together? Are they opposed? Find out today on the Catholic Money Show.
Last fall, we did a series of events, and one of the most fun parts of those was Q&A. There was always a session where we would just do some live Q&A, maybe after lunch or at the end of the day. And the questions that came through were always really, really thoughtful. And we said to ourselves, we should really do a podcast episode on some of these because I think they would help a lot of other people that listen to the Catholic Money Show. And you know what? Here we are finally doing that.
Yes.
A couple months later, but right on time.
That is what is so great about questions and their answers is they usually don't only help the person asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty almost everybody else in that room hearing the answer, really hearing the question goes, oh
yeah,
what
I have
about
that too.
That?
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know to think of that one.
And now you've got the answer. Bingo. So we're going to start incorporating some more Q&A episodes in the Catholic Money Show. And we'd love your questions as well.
Yeah.
So you can find a link in the show notes to send us a voicemail. That's probably the easiest way to do it. You don't have to write anything down.
Those are fun episodes too.
Yeah,
we love your voicemails.
I think it's walletwin.com/voicemail. And then it'll set up a thing. You can go on your phone. It'll use the microphone. You can just leave a little voice message for us there.
Yep, yep, yep.
But today's question.
This is a good one.
Let's see. It says, my faith says, trust in the Lord. The world says you need insurance and retirement and mutual funds and all sorts of those kind of things. How do you deal with that, I guess, possible conflict of interest?
Mm, it's a good question. And really, I mean, it's the question here is, you know, how do I balance trust in the Lord and prudent financial action?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the question that's going on here. And I think there's a bit of a false dichotomy being presented here because it's saying that my faith says trust in the Lord, but then the world, it is saying you need this, this, and this. But I actually don't think the world says those things.
Mm.
The world, the spirit of the world, let's go ahead and just break this down quickly. So if you are familiar with, is it St. Augustine, City of God, City of Man?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he kind of talks about the different influences, if you will, in the world, and each of us are going to have influences from the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And then there's just some just purely natural things that sometimes people want to over-spiritualize, but they're just human due to our human nature or whatever. But really when, you know, in scripture, when St. Paul is talking about the spirit of the world, or when I'm hearing Christians talking about the world, really, it's describing the kingdom of darkness, not the kingdom of God.
Hmm.
And so I don't agree that the spirit of the world or the kingdom of darkness is behind life insurance, retirement, or investments. I disagree with that. I think those things can be part of also the kingdom of God. So right there, we've got a little bit of a dichotomy saying that these things belong to the world. Where I will say, though, is that one of the top temptations that the kingdom of darkness, the devil, will go after is money and power. And oftentimes, he will cloak himself in things like smart and life insurance policies or my awesome 401k and my retirement and, oh, I'm so smart in all these investments. And to puff pride and to fuel vanity, those are certainly of the world. But the kind of the engine he used to get into it may not have been his own. He just hijacked it and kind of influenced you or used them in a way that drew you away from God, away from the kingdom of God, and into the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah, the trouble is when we end up using these things, turning to these things because I don't trust God mm-hmm. to take care of me. I need to be doing all of this. If I don't take care of me or us, well, then who will?
Mm-hmm.
When we become increasingly self-reliant, that yeah. is the trouble.
That's the trouble, whether we have $100 to our name, $1,000 to our name, or $10 million to our name, mm-hmm. or $1 billion to our name. This question of trusting in the Lord and not this possession is always going to be a conflict. And that's where, you know, we've seen this, the lives of the saints talk about detachment from the world, even though you can still have things. But it's that spirit of detachment, that spiritual poverty, if you will, of saying, I relinquish my grasp on these things, even if the Lord wishes to keep them under my management. I relinquish my grasp on them and I trust in him. And that, mm-hmm. that right there is really the most important thing here. But let's get into some of the specifics.
Yeah. And to say it's just false that prudent planning can't go hand in hand with trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Another false dichotomy.
It's like trusting in the Lord does not equate with foolishness.
Yeah, just doing nothing, whatever. And, you know, he'll certainly take care of me. Yeah.
Now, are there times and situations where the Lord may legitimately ask somebody to forego something of the world for a specific purpose? Let's go ahead and use the example of consecrated religious life. Yes, we know that they are invited to trust in the Lord very radically and to forego something like a job that pays them an income.
Mm-hmm.
They just do their communal work. And then there's varying degrees to which communities earn a living, quote unquote. Some are just completely open to the providence of God. Others sell goods. Others receive donations that they hire staff to collect for them, et cetera, et cetera. It does differ. But if you are, I think we want to answer this question more from the lens of how do you trust in the Lord when you're not called to that?
Mm-hmm.
You're not called to take a vow of poverty. And what does that look like? Because that's most people listening here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, God asks us to do a wide variety of things, to have a lot of different jobs or roles or relationships in our lives, right? He's asking me, he's to be a good husband. Now I have, in order to be a good husband, I can't only just rely on God's grace to just magically infuse into me and just make me an amazing man. I need to be doing some of the work on my own. I need to be praying. I need to be working to reduce the times when I put myself first, increase the times I put others first, particularly Amanda and the kids. I need to be doing some things myself in order to live out the call God has put on my life.
Mm-hmm.
So to trust that he's going to take care of us, well, yeah, he's going to take care of us. Some of the way that happens is by helping us understand the responsibility we have for the gifts we've been given and an understanding of how to steward them well.
Yeah.
So him calling us to that higher standard of stewardship is a way, and giving us the grace to respond to that call is a way that he's going to take care of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And trusting in the Lord with our finances specifically doesn't mean we just get a paycheck, make a donation, and then just cross our fingers and hope it all works out. You may start there, but that's not good long-term lived stewardship. It's just not. And we've developed the Wallet Win method. It's our four financial phases and our 12 money milestones. And when we designed these, which I can go over them really, really briefly here in a second. We thought, you know, what is the most practical way to live virtue with money? And when I say live virtue, I'm meaning like all the different virtues that we are called to live out in our life. How can we do that when it comes to finances? Because that's how we need to be interacting with them. And, you know, how, what order would they might go in, and what would be the most prudent next step, et cetera, in kind of living this out. And that's how the Waltland Method was born, was us sitting down and just saying, all right, well, duh, we're going to trust in the Lord. But we also want to be the best stewards possible. And so if we're not called to religious life, we're called to be more in the world, if you will, but not of it. What are the things we ought to be doing with our money that are just smart and they are prudent and they're practical and they not only protect us, but they free us up for a greater yes to God in our vocations? Now, that is how the Waltland Method was discerned and born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trusting that God is going to take care of me in all parts of my life, including like my physical health. He wants that to, wants me to be healthy. Now,
maybe.
I can't though just say, well, I'm just going to eat donuts, chicken wings and candy and never brush my teeth.
And yeah,
and
yeah,
just,
yeah.
God's got me. He loves me. He'll take care of me. I trust. Well, no, that's good. My teeth are going to fall out. I'm going to have a heart attack, and now I'm going to be failing my role as a husband and father, mm-hmm. because I'm not going to be able to serve, and I'm probably not going to be around as long to serve my mm-hmm. family and God here. And so we need to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we trust God and we want to be good stewards. So what is he asking us to do?
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm just going to go through the 12 money milestones really quick, just mm-hmm. super abbreviated. But the first one is getting your thinking around money correct. Unpeeling. Where are you accurately understanding what money is, how it should be used, what it should be spent on, what it represents? Are we seeing that with the mind of the church, or have we, unbeknownst to ourselves, possibly been influenced by other voices, whether it is the spirit of the world or possibly a non-Catholic influence that, mm-hmm. that absolutely happens out there. And sometimes we meet people walking around with kind of half-baked ideas around money that aren't in alignment with the church at all. So that's the first step, is starting to steep yourself in that. The next is living with a budget. Man, this is practicality 101 with mm-hmm. money. How can you possibly steward something that you don't even know what it's doing? You don't know how it's coming in. You don't know how it's going out. You got to live with a budget. And then third, and this goes to the question that was posed, insure yourself. You have got to have certain types of insurance. It's just, it's a must, because, and I'm not saying every type of insurance, I'm not saying you need pet insurance or burial insurance, or they have an insurance product now for everything. Mm-hmm. Electronic insurance. I'm not saying that. This is more health insurance, car insurance, home insurance. You know, these are kind of the biggies. Meaning, if something happens and you don't have these, you have now bankrupted yourself and somebody else had to pick up the tab. And that is unjust. Mm-hmm. If you could have done something about covering yourself with insurance, but you just didn't want to prioritize that payment, and now you've made other people pay for it, that's immoral. That's irresponsible. And there's really always a way, even if you're in a really tight financial circumstance, you probably qualify for some program to get insurance. So don't ever be uninsured because you just thought you didn't want to pay for it or you couldn't afford it. You've got to insure yourself. Next, and at some point you can go ahead and take these over. Mm-hmm. I'll keep going through number five. After you've got those insurances in place, you need to have a starter rainy day fund. And this means a little bit of money, a little bit of cash between you and the life that's coming your way. After that, getting a month ahead. This is where we teach people how to break out of the paycheck to paycheck cycle. The cycle where money hits your bank on day one of the month and money is gone by day three. And you're just crossing your fingers till the 15th. That is not how you, that's a recipe for complete panic attack and stress. And we teach people how to get a month ahead. So not only do they have that little bit of a starter rainy day fund, but they have a month of money sitting in your bank account as you enter into the month for which you're now budgeting it on. Mm-hmm. Love it. All right, take us home.
After that, you get into phase two, where you gain momentum with your money. So this is where you are going to be paying off consumer debt, getting that weight off of your monthly budget. You're going to grow that rainy day fund to a full size one, 4 to 6 months of expenses. You're going to save a down payment so you can own a home. If you don't already, and it doesn't wreck you in the process. Now you're going to go into phase three, grow your wealth. This is where we want you to start contributing to retirement, whatever that's going to look like for you. We want you to save for college education in a prudent and wise way. And finally, then to pay off the house. And those three can all kind of happen together. They start up in sequence, but then they're all going to kind of probably run down the road at the same time. Mm-hmm. After all those are done, completed, you're ready to go on those. We move into phase four, milestone 12, live financial freedom, where you live generously, where you've been generous the whole time. Here, you turn it up, where this is one of the
it's your life's work now.
One of the things you do is be generous.
Yep. Not just have a life of luxury and ease. It's prioritizing generosity and contribution and sacrificial giving. And letting that be now your mission in life. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You through the other money milestones, you've set your own house in order. Mm-hmm. You are providing for, you are protecting you and those under your charge. Now you can pull even more of your attention towards helping and serving others.
Yep. Yeah, so that's it. That's the Wallen method. That's kind of the most practical way that we have discovered that kind of aligns with our faith and helps prioritize prudent action and living virtue with money. Now, let's go back to the question really quick. And I know that this was just a question. We wanted it to be kind of a quick one. us having a quick conversation is hard. When I hear people in this, trust in the Lord or do what the world says, oftentimes, there's usually something else happening here. Hmm. There's a reason they're asking this, and it's usually because they're struggling somewhere.
Interesting.
They're having a hard time doing these things.
Getting insurance.
They don't feel like they can contribute to retirement. They don't feel like they have any money to invest. So they're sitting here probably feeling upset that they can't actually do these things that they probably know they ought to, but they don't have any money for that. So it feels a whole lot better to just say, I'm going to trust you, Lord. And I want to break that down because I think there's a difference there between, okay, we ourselves have had chapters where we always have had insurance. There's no broke that I could be that would not include insurance, okay? Even if it was like I'm applying for state programs or I'm doing a health sharing ministry, like there's not a day I'm not having insurance. That's just not happening. But we've had chapters where we can't contribute to retirement. We've had chapters where we can't be investing. And yeah, there is an element of like, okay, Lord, well, we're doing everything else we can. We just can't do that next step because we need to rebuild our savings or we need to increase our income. And so right now when we're standing in the gap, we're trusting you and we've kind of got a plan where maybe over the next 6 months, we're going to work on a few things and then we'll revisit this so that maybe we will have solved the problem and now we can go ahead and move forward on that. That is very different than throw my hands up in the air, trust the Lord, and let years go by without wanting or really changing anything and just hoping that things might get better. Mm-hmm. Two really different places, but I think both could happen for somebody who's maybe struggling here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think too that you need to worry that by having insurance or saving for retirement or investing or any of these other things that you are trusting any less in the Lord.
No,
and
no,
if you were
no.
truly, I mean, if you were truly putting what God might want for you and your family through your finances versus what the world is telling you, I think the other side would be more like spend it, enjoy things,
indulge. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Rack
I think
up the
that's
debt.
More the world
the
and something
of the
that's,
world.
That's harder yeah. To say, oh yeah, I think that's something we're supposed to do. I think I think on the other end, the things you're talking about, then maybe somebody on the other end is maybe could be possibly falling into a little scrupulosity in, okay, well, is this still total trust in the Lord? That's what I said I was going to do. I'm worrying about that side mm-hmm. of it.
Going back to your health analogy, you love a good analogy.
I do love a good analogy.
It'd be like having, you know, you broke your leg and mm-hmm. you're just going to have somebody pray over it in the hospital parking lot instead of going in and getting surgically corrected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Lord wants you to go in and probably get surgery. Go ahead and pray over it. He might work a miracle.
Go for it. Definitely.
Okay. He chooses not to, go get the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
The same kind of with your finances.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a pinch. All right. Pray. Ask him to tear the nets.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him to bring money that you didn't see coming. Can he do that? Has he done that in our life? 100,000%. And then there's other times he just ghosts and he doesn't say anything.
Holy ghosts.
And it's more of an invitation to step out and to try something different or to mm-hmm. back into it from a different angle or to trust him in this new venture he's calling me to instead of just going with the old way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So pray, of course, first and always. And then based on what happens next, you now know kind of the next steps.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just provided and laid out the ones that you could be taking practically with your finances.
That's right. Well, thank you for the person who asked that question. We'd love to answer yours. And you can leave those at walletwin.com/voicemail. Ask your question and it might just be answered on a future episode of the Catholic Money Show.
Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us today. You can learn more about this show and the Wallet Win program at walletwin.com.
Music in this episode's from Dylan Gardner. Listen to his new album, Almost Real, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your music. See you next week.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit spokestreet.com.